vos enfants, mais it's a little cool, but see identity. May is supposed to be cool, to be warmer. So a question of identity. The last year, this last year, I've been very interested by this actually, a question of identity. Basically, what I'm interested in is what does our identity reside on? And how does that make us feel? How does that make us act? Because often in, I did not ask, has anybody, a total beginner to meditation, has everybody done meditation before? So, okay. Also, just to let you know, I am during the walking period, I am available if anybody has any private questions. And at the same time, at the end of the morning, we will have a discussion period anyway for more general questions. So in the Buddhist tradition and sometimes other spiritual tradition, there is a lot of emphasis sometimes on emptiness. Recently, we were teaching somewhere. And then one of us said the word emptiness, and everybody was like, emptiness. It was like there was this kind of trigger, you know, emptiness. It was, woo. And then often in Buddhism, they talk about not self. And so you might get the impression that you have to be nobody. You have to be nothing. You have to disappear. And actually, personally, I think this is something really important that meditation could help us with, to see that we're not going to dissolve our identity. Because it's very important, in a way, to have what I would call a creative, stable and open identity. I think this is a question. It's not that we should not have an identity. All of us have an identity. Different from others because of our genes, because of our culture, because of many different things. And so I think maybe when we look at the meditation and the path, not to look at I have to get rid of identity, but more to look at, to explore, what is my identity? And what happened to it? How does it shift? How am I building it up? And then, very important question, what is it built on? What is it grounded on? Because if you build your identity on something which is kind of like, you know, very kind of looks solid, but actually is not solid at all. I don't know how you call this in English, this when you go into sandy area and then you suddenly... quicksand, you know, is your identity actually built on quicksand? Or is your identity actually built on something which is stable but open at the same time? Because you can go either side. You can go to have, too much of a solid, fixed identity. Or you can be in the situation where actually you don't feel you have an identity and you kind of like, you feel too vague, in a way. So we can feel too solid, we can feel too vague. But I think often what happens, and this is what we can see in meditation, is the fact that we reduce our identity to certain things. To me, that's what is very interesting, this phenomenon of, you know, like we sit in meditation here, as far as I know, you are relatively okay, and we're sitting here, it's safe, it's friendly, although we are in silence, but it's a friendly silence. We can, you know, smile at each other, look at each other, but it's a friendly silence. So we kind of, you know, in a nice, safe, supportive place. And just sitting here, we suddenly could have a sensation, or we could have a thought, or we could have a feeling, and suddenly, our identity totally grab, kind of just totally coalesce, totally become fixed with the feeling, or become fixed with the feeling or become fixed with the thought. And so it's kind of seeing what goes on. What are my kind of, how is identity actually quite something which is at one level quite loose, because there are many different things which compose it, and then they change. And at the same time, there is a certain stability to it. But at the same time, looking, how do I fix it, or how do I compare it to certain ideas? Recently, I had this wonderful, funny experience, so to speak. I cut my finger. I mean, it was slashed, and I needed stitches and things like that. When I was supposed to teach a day long like this, so it happened in the morning, we fix it, and in the evening, after the day long, so, you know, we meditated and everything, I teach and everything. And then I go to have my cut fixed, and I need 3 stitches. But I had this impression, you know, I mean, if you have, it's 21st century, I mean, I have not had stitches for the last 50 years, and I think, well, it must be modern now. You know, you just chick, chick, and, you know, off you go, and you're fine, and things like that. Then I see the doctor with his needle and his black thread, and he's going to basically do it the good old way. And the first thought I have is, how am I going to remain Zen? You know, I must remain Zen. You know, I am a teacher, meditation teacher, I must remain. Basically, I mean, in French, Zen means to be cool. You know, so I was kind of thinking basically, how can I totally remain equanimous, although he is kind of, you know, putting a needle in my finger? That was my concern. But then the concern went very quickly, because straight away he put an anesthetic and I was totally fine. I did not need to be Zen, regardless of circumstances. And then what it showed me was that I had this idea as my identity. I am a Zen teacher, I am a meditation teacher. No matter what happened, I must look like I remain equanimous. As to being equanimous, this is something else. And I thought, wait a minute. That's what, again, it shows me, you know, how quickly you can decide. You know, you wake up one morning and you feel like, whoa. And you think, oh, I'm really getting old, aren't I? If I'm getting old, maybe I should stop doing this and that. So here, I mean, it's just a feeling. And then suddenly, you fix your identity upon it. Or you could feel, I am young. I am young, I must have an exciting life. Because if I have not an exciting life when I am young, then there is some problem with me. Or, and so it's kind of like also the idea we have about our identity. And so what I'm looking at today is really exploring, where does my identity go? How does it shift? Like, you sit in meditation, and within that half an hour, you might actually have different identity. If you, sometime, you know, we might have a certain sensation, and we think, wait a minute, you know, does this mean that? Am I going to be, you know, have this pain? And then that pain means this. And then it's going to last a long time. And then we identify with this. And then as soon as we identify with it in a certain way, then it reduces our possibility. That's what I think, in a way, we can look at. As soon as we reduce our identity to one thing, then it becomes painful. And so it's not to say I don't have that pain, or I don't have that thought, or I don't have that feeling, or I don't have that situation. But to notice, how does it feel if actually I feel what I would call a wider, more spacious feeling of identity? Well, actually it's more like there is all these things which are fluidly kind of existing together. Because if we look, we have many identity. I can be a daughter, I can be a friend, I can be a teacher, I can be somebody lost on the underground, I can be many different things. And so in a way, do I stick to the identity, to that part of my identity, or do I see that it's just one aspect of it? And that actually the idea, and I think that's where the meditation can help us, is can we have a creative sense of identity? A fluid and at the same time stable sense of identity. So this morning, what I like to look at more is actually what I would call personal identity. And then this afternoon, what I want to look more is at also our identity. Sometimes we make it reside outside of ourselves, and also the way we connect to the identity of others. But for this morning, I would say just as a kind of a start, to just kind of, in a way, use a meditation to look in a very gentle way. Not, we're not going here in a kind of existential, philosophical, I know we are in Cambridge, you know, but maybe we won't go like that, so, but just in the experience. Because with the mindfulness meditation, awareness meditation, so this morning I thought we could do more mindfulness, awareness, what is called insight meditation. And then this afternoon, if you want to try it, we could do actually a bit of Zen meditation. And then there is a different way they do meditation, which is interesting in terms of identity. And so this morning, what we could do is actually use a meditation to gently, because you see, you have these two aspects. When we're meditating, we are cultivating two things. We are cultivating concentration, samatha, S-A-M-A-T-H-A. And concentration meaning also focusing, but I would say more anchoring. So this morning, if all of you are comfortable with the breath, we could just be aware of the breath. If for some reason, possibly you are, I don't know if you are asthmatic and you have trouble with focusing on the breath, you could focus on the sounds. Or you can focus on the body. Whatever anchor in the experience which works for you. To see that actually there are no sacred objects in terms of anchoring in meditation. But you can use the breath, or listening to sounds, or being aware of the body. And so the anchoring is about, it's like a boat which is anchored. The boat doesn't stay there. The boat moves about, but doesn't go too far and doesn't get lost on the open sea. That's what the aim of the anchor is. And the same, when we anchor in the breath, for example, we move. We don't stay the breath, and kind of, you know, totally identify with the breath. But we just use the breath as an anchoring device. So we rest our attention on the sensation we experience when we breathe. And then when we go away, think about this, that, and another, we come back to the breath. Then we go away again, and we come back. And so the aim is not to stop the thought. The aim, in a way, is, you could say, not to get identified with the thought, not to kind of reduce our identity to the thought. And then that's where the second element, the vipassana, comes in. Vipassana means looking deeply, experiential inquiry. So here, what we're trying to do is we try to see how we become identified, but just in the experience, to see how when we have a thought, it's like we become one with the thought in such a way that we become the thought. I am my thought. And to see, can we experience our thought, feeling, sensation more as there is a thought arising, there is a sensation, and to see the difference we feel when we say, my knee, my pain, it's going to drop off, I will never walk again, to there is a sensation in the knee. If I go inside the sensation, how does it feel? And so to see, like, what do we do? Like, sometimes when we sit in meditation, it can become very clear how, for instance, we might have a tendency to plan. And with that, we might have an identification as, I am a planning person. Or, I need to plan to feel secure. If I don't plan, something bad is going to happen. So in a way, you have planning, which is a creative function. But then according to how you engage with that creative function, you're going to have different identity. I plan, I must plan, I need to plan. And to see, yeah, planning is useful. You had to plan to come here. I had to plan to come here. But did I have to plan 100 times to come here? And to make sure I had the best plan in the universe. Or plan everything so nothing would surprise me. So is in a way, how much are we in, I would nearly say involved, kind of defined by the planning activity. So you have the function, which is an activity of planning. So is it a creative function, I plan when I need to plan? Or is it an identifying function? I plan, therefore I exist. Therefore, I am. And the same with daydreaming, the same with ruminating. And so to see, to me, this is what the meditation is about. Can you move from identifying with all the things that makes us to have a creative functioning to the different things that makes us? We have a feeling. So what's a feeling at the beginning? A feeling at the beginning is just, you feel something. You feel something a little different. You might feel something a little strange. You might feel something a little heavy. You might feel something a little agitated. But very quickly, we give it a meaning. I am sad. So if you have a feeling who looks like sadness, is it just a sad feeling which arose because of certain condition? Or are you a sad person? If you have the feeling because of condition, this is a creative functioning of the feeling. If you have the feeling and you identify, I am a sad person, then you're reducing your identity. Or if you have an agitated feeling, it could be anger. And then, do you have anger arising because you feel frustrated, because something happened, or whatever it might be? Or am I an angry person, and it's my right to be angry as much as I want because I'm an angry person anyway? So sometimes we can go even kind of like use it nearly as an excuse. Or sometimes, in a way, the more we do it, the more we reinforce that identity. So it's kind of like not judging the feeling of sadness, of anger. Feelings are just, again, creating functions of the organism. But what do we do when we have the experience? This is a little the question. What do we do when we have the experience? If we have a thought, if we have a sensation, if we have a feeling, if we have a situation, are we going to define ourselves just by that? Are we going to reduce our identity just to that? Or are we going to see that, yes, I have this feeling, but I don't have it all the time. It arises now and then, or it arises upon certain conditions. And then, how am I going to be with it? And so there I would suggest two pointers, things which personally I find very useful. Like recently just a few days back, I came from Gaia House where I was teaching a Zen retreat. And a Zen retreat is a little tough. It's Zen, so you have to sit a lot. If you don't sit a lot, it's not Zen. That's the way it is. So that's what we do. So then you have lots of sitting. And personally, I am the kind of teacher who think if I tell these people to sit a lot, I have to do it too. I'm the teacher who does whatever I ask people to do, I do it too. And this week was a little tough because every day, the third sitting of the morning, I had quite a lot of pain. I would sit and I would try to be with it. I did not identify with it, but even if I did not identify, it was a little painful. So it was very interesting to see that. Because the first time it happened, by the first day, it was fantastic, I was fine. And then the second day, I think the body was not so happy with all this sitting stuff. And then, yes, it was quite painful. And I could see that either I went with, oh, la, 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 phew, this is painful. This is only the second day, Am I getting too old for this, And then you could, your identity get there. And instead, what I generally do with this thing is to see, let's see what happened. Let's see what happened. Don't define it. Don't reduce your identity to anything. And I thought, let's see what happened this afternoon. Because this afternoon you have four sitting. So, and the first sitting of this afternoon was fantastic. I had no pain. And I was in a very, very spacious place. And to me, this is a thing. If you reduce identity, it has a tendency to kind of like close us in, limit us, solidify us. And so that's why I find very useful to use this, let's see what happens. So I'm not determining myself. I'm not defining my identity. I'm just saying, okay, this is happening. It's not very pleasant. And the second thing we can use is, how long is this going to last? If it had last all day long, every day, then generally I would take a painkiller or do something, have a massage or whatever. But when it's, how long does it going to last? If it does not, you then see, you are open to the fact that it could not last. I saw somebody today, a few days ago, and I was so touched. Somebody was in a really, really, really difficult situation. Great inspiration for me. And because of something, she really became very depressed. And she said, the only thing that helped me there was I knew it was not going to last. So although she really was depressed for quite a few days and weeks and it was very difficult, she said, the only thing that helped me was this is not going to last. At some point, it's going to change. And then when I was talking to her, it was not there anymore. But she has done quite a lot of meditation. And to me, what she was showing, expressing there, was that, yes, because of the condition, she had, I would say, a very good reason to be depressed, to feel really low. And at the same time, because she had done meditation, then she was able to see, this is not my identity. I am not just that. I am not going to be like that for the rest of my life. So because she was able not to identify with it, then she was able actually to let it run its course. And then when it's finished, then again she felt much lighter and much better and more energy and so on and so forth. And to me, that's what I found really moving, that really make a difference. Because what we do in meditation, it's not just so that we can feel stable and open, or we can feel peaceful and clear, but that it's in our daily life. It's going to make a difference to how we experience things, how we relate to things. And I think that's what this question of identity is about, is can the meditation help me over time to creatively engage with the diverse elements that constitute my identity? Because basically our identity is constituted from all the thing within me, meeting whatever is going on outside. But we'll speak about the outside more this afternoon. So this is what I wanted to talk about for this morning to start with. So what I would suggest, so we're going to do sitting meditation and walking meditation. And then we'll finish with some discussion. And what I would suggest is that to use the breath as an anchor, so you kind of just focus on the breath in whatever you do, way you do it, so as to stabilize. Then at the same time, just to be aware of the thought, the feeling, the sensation in the background. And then just slightly just to bring that brightness of the mind, that being able to pay attention in a bright way where you see, oh, here actually the identity feel more looser, more creative, more spacious. And here, oh, I am sticking to this. And in sticking, I'm identifying to it. And then to see how long does that last? Because that's something we can also see. How long am I sticking to this? How long am I identifying with this? And then as soon as I come back to the breath, generally we come back to a more creative, stable, open identity. And then, oops, we stick to something. And then we reduce, we identify, we define. And then we come back. And that's what is interesting with that. It doesn't mean that we, you know, stay all the time in the creative, stable, open. But actually, we have possibly more leeway than we think we have. Because often we feel ourselves quite solid and fixed. I am like this. I mean, at the moment, I'm feeling a little pain in my body. But let's see what happens. This is a mantra. I'll see if is it going to become something painful or is it just this funny feeling one experiences sometimes. So I don't know. Possibly I can tell you at the end of the day if you're interested. So it's just to see how we can actually shift, kind of move from a little stickiness to more open. And then again, and then just play with that. That's what I would suggest we do